Save up to 50% with massive deals on office essentials like computers with 8th Gen Intel Core processors and the latest servers. Even other top brand electronics are on sale. Plus, get free shipping on everything. Quantities are limited. Dell's small business technology advisors can help you find the right tech for your business needs at Black Friday prices. Just call 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/sbblackfriday. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Our dogs are in the SEC championship game.
And nobody's got you covered like us. Because the game is everywhere. The SEC plays here.
WZGC Atlanta. WZGC HD1. A radio.com station.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
Prescott to throw, looks right, waits on the cross, batted in the air and incomplete, intended for Amari Cooper and broken up by Desmond Trufant. Snap spot, try is away from Bryant, and of course, it is good. Third and seven, play clock down to three. 2x2 look, snap to Ryan. Matt on the drop, in trouble, got to get away, cannot. And that is DeMarcus Lawrence getting Ryan in the backfield. Snap to Dak, wants to throw. Falcons trying to gather around. Prescott in the pack, and down he goes. And Vic Beasley dropped him back at the 18-yard line. It's a loss of 11. Prescott from the gun. Elliott leaks out to the left. Prescott being flushed out. Beasley got him. Second sack of Prescott, and they both belong to Adairsville, Georgia's Vic Beasley. Snap spot. Try from Bryant is away. And Matt Bryant makes it and gives Atlanta the lead. Prescott's got Elliott with him. He'll keep the football, and Prescott scores the Cowboy touchdown. Around a little play fake to Smith, quick throw. Ridley couldn't hang on to it. Van Der Esch has got his second interception, coming back down the near sideline, and Ito Smith is able to get him dropped inside the 35. They're going to hand the ball to Elliott. He'll have the first down. Inside the 10, 5, touchdown, Ezekiel Elliott. Falcons want to cut it loose. Deep shot, Julio Jones, and he caught it! Touchdown, Atlanta! Snap, spot, kick is away, and it is good. Ball game over, and Dallas wins on the final snap. Cowboys 22, Falcons 19.
Whether it's the ones either side of it, how it goes, but when there's a field goal or a touchdown to close it out, those are hardest as a competitor. Call it last shot, last play, whatever it comes down to. Those ones definitely sting the most, and because you're going into it, you're ready to go and make a game-winning play, and when it goes the other way, those are hard.
Yeah, those are hard. Four times this year, the Atlanta Falcons have lost on the last play of the game, and that is. One of the key reasons, if not the key reason, that they are 4-6. And welcome to a Falcons Monday from the Kia Studios, John and Hugh, as we try and make sense of where we are in the Falcons right now. Well, we know where we are, but make sense of all of it, why they're 4-6 this year. Another tough one to the Dallas Cowboys this time in a game that, Hugh, they've lost four games at the buzzer, three of them at home. And it just mounts up on you. And you're sitting at 4-6 with almost zero chance of getting anywhere.
Yeah, it's tough, John. And I know everybody wants to look at different things and different aspects of why this game was lost. And, I've been talking to some people on my Twitter feed, and they want to point out the fact that, the offense was inept. They weren't explosive as they were in the past. Some people even want to point out the fact that, they want to call out the coaching and some of the moves that were made. But for me, again, I respect everybody's opinion. I have to say that because I don't want anybody to feel like my word is law. But, again, I have to say, being that a guy that has played, I'm wired a little bit different when it comes to this. And to me, that was a defensive loss. Because you think about that last drive that the Dallas Cowboys had. They started that drive on a 25. And as a defender, it's your job, especially with a minute and some odd left on clock, minute 38 left on the clock, your job is to stop them. Now, on the 25, you're not in field goal range. They drove the ball down the field and put the ball in field goal range. If the defense does their job, we're going in overtime. So to me, that loss is on the defense. And when you talk about a defense that has been decimated by injuries and a defense that we've been told that the guys that are out there are just as good as our starters, that's where the blame. I lied the blame at the feet of the defense for this one.
And I lie the blame at the feet of the offense. And the reason I do is 3 touchdowns in 2 weeks, one of which was entirely pointless. The inability to get into the end zone, field goal after field goal after field goal, and yeah, that's just not going to cut it in anybody's world. And their inability to get third downs, red zone, all this stuff to actually, you know, they made one clutch play on offense, one. Well, I'm not talking about Mohamed Sanu and the first down. One clutch play for a score on offense.
You're talking about the one with Julio Jones?
Yeah, in the last 2 weeks. One clutch play.
Yeah, but that was a clutch play. And again, as a defender, you look at that and the offense puts you in position to at least extend the game and attempt to win it at the end. But the Dallas Cowboys were able to move the ball. They were able to move the ball down the field. And you had them at one point in that drive, John, you had them at 3rd and 5 on the 30.
You know, doesn't it seem to you, if you look at the Cleveland and Dallas games, how they kind of mirror each other, the opponent was able to run the ball on you, they got out early on you, and there wasn't that you managed to rally a little bit late in Cleveland and almost had 2 touchdowns late. You did rally here to tie the game. That there was this kind of like, in the rally, a sense of urgency in Cleveland in the fourth quarter, and in the rally yesterday, a sense of urgency in the fourth quarter that was decidedly missing any sense of urgency the first 3 quarters.
I think it's a rhythm thing. For the Falcons right now, and teams try to do their best to keep them off balance, because we all know that this offense has the ability, they have the weapons to be able to score at a drop of a hat, and I think that was the thing yesterday that Dallas did a good job of. They did a good job of keeping getting pressure on Matt Ryan. It starts with Matt. It begins and ends with Matt, and if you get pressure on him, it's hard for him to push the ball down the field. You got to think. This is not an excuse, but if I'm the quarterback and my job is to try to push the ball down the field, but my offensive line is getting pushed around, that makes it hard for me to look down the field and trust that they're doing their job. That's the reality of it. It's hard to play under that kind of pressure, but he made plays when he had to. They just weren't – it's not what we're accustomed to. See, we're going back to that Washington Redskins game, and you're looking at that and you're thinking this is how it's supposed to be. But every week in the NFL, matchups are the key to wins and losses. And you have 2 guys that weren't your starting guards at the beginning of the season that are now your starting guards. And we were talking about how Schrader got worked like a shift yesterday. Those were tough matchups for them. That defensive line got after it yesterday. And that's the way that you beat the Atlanta Falcons. You put pressure on the quarterback, you keep Matt Ryan on the sideline.
It is a Falcons Monday at the Kia Studios, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. After the game, Dave Archer and Matt Ryan knocking it out, trying to figure out what now after that loss to the Dallas Cowboys, as those two went 1st and 10.
It's about our brotherhood, man, how tight we can get.
This is the 1st and 10 with Dave Archer and Matt Ryan on the home for our Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Matt, another one of these. The game kind of evolved into kind of their tempo a little bit. It's kind of tough to handle.
Yeah, for sure. We knew coming into it, there were going to be points where it was tough sledding. I think their defense is very good. They've got talent at the front 7. They're relentless in terms of pass rush. So I thought they did a nice job all day. I thought we needed to convert some more 3rd downs early to extend drives, to come away with more than field goals. And to try and come away with touchdowns. And we weren't able to do that early. I thought we got better in the second half, particularly late in the game, but just not enough for the day.
It looked like the tempo, when you guys jumped into some tempo, it hurt them a little bit. I think they reeled a little bit in that scenario. You got down in the red zone, got one opportunity in the red zone down there. You guys were 0-for-1 down there. They played you zone, tried to drop a lot of people off, yet they still heat you up with some pressure.
Yeah, for sure. That's one of those, we got to find a way to come away with the touchdown there. That's a much different ball game if we're up at that end of the game and they've got to score a touchdown. So when you get your chances, you got to nail them. And we didn't do a good enough job of that today.
Okay, what do you tell your guys? You got to get ready in just a couple days, get ready to play the Saints. I think it shouldn't be hard to get up to play the Saints, but tell me what your thought process is there.
You got to flush this one as fast as possible and get as much rest as you can between now and Thursday. Make sure that we're fresh, have the right mindset, and have a really good plan to go down there. It's going to be a fun atmosphere. It always is down there. And on Thanksgiving, we'll be cool.
As always, thanks for your time, bud.
All right, thank you, Arch.
That was Dave Archer, Matt Ryan after the game yesterday on our Facebook at 929 The Game, on our Twitter at 929 The Game. Falcons dropped to 4-6 on the season following the loss on Sunday. How much of a chance do you give them today to make the postseason now? 3% are saying legit chance to win out, 26% saying slim chance, need help, 71% are saying no chance, look to the draft. That's on our Twitter at 929 The Game. We encourage you to go there and vote in our poll today and to use it as a place where you can vent. There are a lot of places you can vent today. About the Falcons' loss to the Cowboys. Four losses, three of them at home, all at the last play of the game. And this season, Hugh has just gone sideways, and there's no catching it. You're either dictating or being dictated to, and right now they're being dictated to.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. And now the Achilles heel for the Atlanta Falcons is the running backs. 200 all-purpose yards from Ezekiel Elliott. It's funny because, we're doing the pregame show, and John Michaels came on, and we were talking about keys to the game. And one of his keys to the game was to keep Ezekiel Elliott under 120 yards rushing. And when he said it, I was like, wow. Like, normally, like, going into a game, John, you think, okay, you want to keep a back to under 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that Ezekiel Elliott's a special kind of back. But I was like, damn, to keep him under 120 yards and you still try to win, that to me sounds – crazy. But the dude had 122 yards and they still won. That was the irony of the conversation that we had, because knowing what Ezekiel Elliott meant to this team, he had 122 yards on the ground and I think it was like 79 yards passing game. He was the guy that they fed. He was the guy that when they needed clutch plays to be made, that he was the one that they turned to. That was the problem yesterday. He's an elite player. No question about that. You saw people bouncing off of him yesterday. You saw guys trying to tackle him. He's a tough load to tackle. He had a hell of a game yesterday.
Yeah, just so frustrating to watch as a Falcons fan this season that has developed. And I'm not going to sit here. Nobody going to use any excuses about injuries. And, you know, it'll be nice to have Debo back, the Saints killer, for the game on Thursday. And I know that nobody thought, what are you talking about? What difference does it make? You know, maybe we're going to go down there and lose by 40. I don't know about that. I mean, let's see how this goes. I mean, you know, we got something on them. I mean, this rivalry and stuff, this is not going to be 48-7 like it was with the Eagles yesterday. No. We had them the first time. No. That's not the way we roll
Mark
with these guys.
Listen, John Fricky, you my boy. My dog. We've been through it, bruh. Those Saints they look like they're on another level.
Okay, fine, whatever.
I hear you. Okay, you know the great part about this conversation? We're going to find out Thursday. We're going to find out if we rise up and get it done, because it
– You ever had swamp turkey?
I ain't never had – I don't even know what you're talking about.
It stinks, okay? Just say it. Spells.
Those cats – like,
see Jeff Ricky's face, y'all.
Watching that game, the Eagles game yesterday, really couldn't even get mad of the beatdown, because it was like Drew Brees was out there, looked like he was just drawing up plays in the dirt, making it happen. Mm-hmm. They caught he was dropping dimes. He was dropping, like what they say when quarterbacks say, dropping it out of a helicopter,
mm-hmm.
because it's like he just put it right in the bread basket. Boom. Like, they're on another level. It's going to be a tough game. I think the Falcons are going to come to play because of that hatred thing. No question about that. But, man, it's like almost like right now, you know how they used to say Riverboat Ron Rivera? Sean Payton, the Riverboat Gambler now. Because I think it was like 3rd and 13 or whatever. It was the 3rd and forever, and he went for it.
It was 4th down.
It was 4th down and forever.
4th and 7.
And they went for it.
And scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
38-yard TD penalty.
Yeah. Yeah. That right there, those are the kind of plays that when they do the Super Bowl highlight reels and they're talking about the defining moments in seasons, those are the ones that they tend to look at and think like,
man,
wow.
I really hope they get here and lose. I really do. Fine, bring them here. Let's have them lose here. You know, that'd be good. Go Chiefs, go. Go Steelers, go. Go Chargers, go. Go Tom Brady, go.
You can
go
work for everybody
Tom
in the AFC.
Brady, go. Yeah,
I ain't rooting for Tom Brady.
Well, you know my two favorite teams. I mean, obviously, you know, Falcons and whoever's playing those guys, right? You know, so, I mean, they instantly become my second favorite team. The Falcons, though, what a frustrating year. And I still don't understand certain things. I don't get it. Why do we not blitz? Hell, send everybody. No safeties. Just go. I don't care what. You're going to get burned. We get burned anyway. Go. Send six guys. I mean, we're rushing three and we can't stop anybody? What's the point of rushing three? I just don't understand it. Go ahead and blitz. Here's the difference. I saw yesterday in the game, Carson Wentz dropped back to pass one time. The Saints had an all-out blitz. They must have sent eight guys. And guess what? They got to him.
Because he didn't have time to throw. It's one thing, John, it's one thing to blitz when you have your defensive line already playing well up front. And I think Kelce got hurt in that game. I don't remember seeing him come back. Because I know they said his elbow popped out of place and they were trying to get a brace to put his elbow back in and all this other stuff. Don't remember watching him come back in because there was a whole lot going on in that game that after a while you just kind of like zone out. But they were having success rushing four. So rushing five, I mean, you're just putting the quarterback under assault at that point. Like, if you're – and again, I'll say this. If you're not primarily a rushing team, a team that blitzes, then it's you just don't start riding up blitzes in the dirt and say, okay, run them. This is not a blitzing team. It's not the kind of defense that I played in. This is a more of a cover team. This is more of a zone team. They rely heavily on good coverage on the back end and good play up front from their defensive line. They don't do a whole lot of blitzing. And I know somebody's about to tweet me right now. And say, well, damn it, they need to start blitzing.
Yeah, that's how
okay,
I feel.
That's fine, but don't
damn
be mad.
Damn it, they need to start blitzing.
But listen, I'm just trying
to. What do you got to lose
I'm
exactly?
I'm just giving you an insight. I'm not coach. I don't work for the Falcons. I'm not coaching. I'm just letting you know that's not what they do.
You know, if Drew Brees throws a 62-yard touchdown pass on you on Thursday night, and in the process of it, you drill him into tomorrow, you know what? He's throwing the 62-yard touchdown pass. Might as well get our drill you into tomorrow.
You might as well get fined. Listen, you're going to lose. You might as well get fined on top of it.
That's kind of what I think. What the hell did the Eagles have to lose?
While we at it, John, just go ahead and kidnap Drew Brees before the game. How about that? Since we're going to do that, just kidnap and let the young cat play.
Can I borrow your truck?
I ain't got nothing to do with this. I already own my second strike. I ain't working on my third. I own my second strike. Third strike, I'm out of here.
Can I borrow your truck? All right, what of those Roland and Hate Week coming up? Where we stand in the NFL? Who's hot? Not just them. Next on a Falcons Monday after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
This is Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by the Ford F-Series. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Let's check out the teams.
It's a Monday, and time to take a look back with Falcons Monday.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
A lot of reaction to what took place yesterday, leading to Thanksgiving in the National Football League. And, of course, it is a Falcons Monday, which is powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. And by the way, should you need tires today, Kauffman Tire has $25 off a set of four new tires today. And today only at Kauffman Tire, kauffmantire.com for retailers. Kauffman Tire is the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons. John and Hugh at the Kia Studios as we break down the NFL. All right, let's start with the NFC South here, and let's just get into this and see what we got going on. By the way, we should note that as we start the NFL tonight, that game that got moved from Mexico to Los Angeles is tonight. The Chiefs and the Rams in Los Angeles. We have 2-9-1 teams, Hugh. This is one of those big, gigantic, ginormous regular season games.
Yeah, because a lot of people feel like this is going to be a prelude to potentially the Super Bowl. Like, you know, you could possibly see these two teams playing in the Super Bowl. I know Kansas City fans are excited about this. A little nervous, too. I mean, it's still the regular season, but the Kansas City Chiefs have been playing well all season long.
I wonder what the total points in this game are going to be.
I think I saw somewhere Sunny Way said like 57. It's like, well, no, that was the weekend. I don't know, John, because it was they were talking about the highest point total in the Saints and the Eagles game. But
and then the Eagles only scored 7.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was, you know, they were kind of close with the point total, whatever. But yeah. It might be, I would say probably closer to 60.
Yeah, because this is going to be a shootout tonight.
Yeah, I would probably say closer to 60 to 70.
Yeah, well, one thing is true. Kansas City can score. They just can't stop no one. And they got to stop Gurley and Goff and company, you know. Probably
yeah, well,
not.
The same can be said about the Rams' defense, excuse me. The Rams' defense are probably in the same situation. They've had a lot of points dropped on them this year, too.
All right, that'll be tonight, of course, Rams and Chiefs and one of the more anticipated NFL matchups of the year. And good that they're playing in the United States and not on that god-awful field down at Azteca Stadium in Mexico City. Let's catch you up first on the NFC South. We begin with Giants radio as the Giants held off a furious rally by the Bucs.
Ellison in motion to the left. Manning back. He looks right. He throws to the right corner of the end zone, and it's caught for the touchdown by Odell. In the back right corner of the end zone with a defender all over him. Manning's second touchdown pass of the ball game.
The fact is, got a couple of big games the Giants did, especially from Saquon Barkley, who had 142 yards rushing and a pair of touchdowns as they beat the Bucs. Meantime, the Panthers lost again. See, this is what just kills you, is that the Panthers have lost back-to-back games, and the door was open for the Falcons going, if you think about Cleveland and Dallas, man. And they lost yesterday, according to Lions Radio, and an interesting decision late in the game.
Carolina not going for the extra point. They're going for the lead. Newton's got the ball. Looks. Plenty of time. Now pressure comes. Newton throws Enzo, and he's down there wide. It's incomplete. The Lions hang on to the lead.
They did hang on to the lead. Do you agree with that? It's 20-19. There's a minute to go. You go for the win on the road.
I'm conservative, John. I'm kicking field goals. I'm going to kick the field goal for the tie. I'm kicking. Hey, I'm not AD. I'm not a riverboat gambler.
I mean, you decide to go for two instead of just taking, you know, the Graham Gano is a hell of a kicker.
Yeah.
And you know, extra points, you know, I mean, or extra points. I mean, I know they're longer now and guys miss them like Meyer did yesterday, but to go for two in the win.
Yeah, Ryan probably getting some heat. He getting a lot of heat for that one. He getting a lot of heat.
And of course, then there's the, this is the New Orleans Saints Tin Can Radio Network calling the game down there against the Hughesville team.
First and 10 from the Eagles, 23, Breeze in the shotgun. He drops back, looks to the near sideline, up in the air. Hey. Mike Thomas, caught in the front touchdown, Saints!
Yeah, okay, whoever, yeah.
Will you let it breathe? Let it breathe, man. Yeah. You know, what I got from that game was the swagger or the attitude that their coach has. The players are playing with that same attitude. Like, I don't know if they're in there tearing up fire alarms or whatever. But, dude, they're playing well. I mean, flat out. And they are the hottest team. I know a lot of people don't hear that. I'm not trying to say it to rub it in. I'm not. I'm just telling you they need – if there's a time to cool this team off, it would be Thursday. You got to try to – yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either. But still, there's a time to cool this team off, it would be Thursday.
That would make my Thanksgiving Day.
I'm gonna tell you right now,
special.
I know we picking. We gonna do the pickems probably kind of early. I ain't picking the Falcons. I'm probably off that bandwagon for a couple weeks. I'm gonna go ahead. I'm just chuckling. I'm not chuckling because why you looking at me like you want to slap me across the neck, John?
No, I don't
want to
slap you. I'm not
trying to be funny. I'm just letting you know that this is gonna be a tough one. This is gonna be a tough one. This is tough. I mean, and on a short week, too.
What do you want me to say? Of course it's tough.
It's going to be a tough.
Yeah, they're as hot as the Falcons were in 2016 at the end of the year. Yeah, that's kind of hot, right?
2018.
I know.
No, that's cool.
The Bears have won. The Bears have won four in a row. They're hot. They beat the Vikings last night. Pittsburgh's won six in a row. The Texans have won seven straight games. The Houston
and they
Texans.
They putting out quarterbacks.
And the Swampers have won nine games in a row. And you're 9-1, and you lost at home to the Buccaneers. To the Bucs.
Yeah.
To Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. It's like you can't say enough about that Saints team and the way that they're playing right now. Sean Payton has those guys humming. They're in the zone.
So this happened yesterday in the Saints game. The Saints decided to rub it in because they're feeling themselves. So they go for it on fourth down and seven from the, what was it, the 38 AT, somewhere like that. And they're already, you know, they're in command of the game. They decide to throw a touchdown pass on fourth down just to really rub salt in the wound against Malcolm Jenkins. And Malcolm Jenkins walks up the field, looks at Sean Payton, and flips him the finger right there in front of God and everybody. Hey, Sean Payton, take that. It was only a single gun. It would have been better if it had been double guns. But it was, hey, Sean Payton, take that. And Malcolm Jenkins is going to get fined for that one. But who cares?
That was an emotional game, man. I don't know why. Because that was like a beatdown from the beginning all the way to the end. You know what, man? The Saints, I'm just looking at their schedule. Dude, John, they're averaging about 30 points a game.
No, they're averaging 38.
Okay, I was just doing the quick math. I wasn't doing it. It didn't have to be the exact math, John. Forget me, damn.
38.
It didn't have to be the exact math, but it was like 30 points a game. But that's cool. 38, that's fine. But, I mean, they have been rolling.
Yeah, they've six times, right? Six times they've scored 40 or more this year.
Look, 114 yesterday, 48. Do you know what the sad part about this is? Can I just share something with you? In the last 3 weeks, it's been 45. They've scored 45.
Mm-hmm.
51.
Mm-hmm.
And 48. Jesus, take the wheel. Like, for real. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to – Yeah, it's going to be a butt whooping. It's going to be one of them turkey games, and I think the Falcons going to be the turkey.
No, that ain't happening.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and just
– No, that ain't not happening.
Yeah,
we got Debo back. We play well down there. You know, if we're going to do anything this season, it's going to be to make them miserable. And if they think that they could just treat our offense the way that they treated the Eagles' offense, I think we're going to move the ball. We're going to score. Julio's going to get his. Calvin Ridley's going to show out. We're going to play fine. We're going to give them one whale of a game.
I'm going to go ahead and I can't. Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara yesterday combined for like 173 yards. So. Yeah, rushing that is. Just rushing. I can't do it this week.
Nah.
I can't do it.
Okay, all right, fine, no, I will.
I respect you. I respect you tremendously, but I can't.
I'm going to do it for you.
I can't do it.
Hate is real.
No, hate is real. But butt-whoopers are, too.
Yeah, well, if we decide finally to bring the heat, we can be okay.
See, that's the problem. That's you just hit the nail on the head right there, John Fricky. If we decide to bring the heat, I might feel differently come Wednesday, but right now, I'm not. I need to get some of these wins up on this here college when we're doing these totals. I can't be at the bottom. I gotta try to get some W's.
All right, speaking of the Super Bowl, which, of course, is almost here, the game, 99 The Game, Bud Light, and On Location Experiences present the first ever Bud Light Super Bowl Music Fest at State Farm Arena. It is a three-day music fest leading up to the Super Bowl. On Thursday, January 31st, the EA Sport Bowl featuring Ludacris and Friends. On Friday, February 1st, Aerosmith. And on Saturday, February 2nd, Bruno Mars and Cardi B. Tickets on sale, SuperBowlMusicFest.com. That is SuperBowlMusicFest.com and Ticketmaster. The Bud Light Super Bowl Music Fest is the 31st, 1st, and 2nd, three nights at State Farm Arena.
What? What are you looking at me like that for?
You just got a smirk on your face.
No, I had a flashback.
Oh.
That I choose to keep to myself because I like my job.
Oh, hey, you have to tell me that at the break. Speaking of State Farm Arena, the Hawks will be there tonight against the L.A. Clippers. Can they turn this losing skid around a little bit? Been a rough couple of weeks for the Hawks. Can they get going this evening? That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Game.
It is a Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game for the Kia Studios. John and Hugh, as we roll towards Thanksgiving, short week, hate week, and all that kind of good stuff. Boy, this is going to be a whale of a week. You got Thanksgiving, Hugh. You've got a game on Thanksgiving night between the Falcons and the Swampers down in Stinky Town, and maybe maybe a chance that if this season isn't going to be playoffs, which it doesn't certainly look like.
To be spoiler.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, let's go down there and beat those guys and do that. If you're scared, go buy a dog, dude. Yeah, I'm not scared. I'm not worried, okay?
John, why are you coming at my neck like this morning?
But you have cats.
Meow. At least you can shave now, John. You ain't got to grow that beard no more. You ain't got to go to Victory Beard.
Ha.
Oh, my goodness.
Woo.
Love y'all.
When do you put the when do you put the turkey in the oven? Do you put it in today or Tuesday?
You put it in the microwave Wednesday. An hour before.
No, seriously, you put it in Tuesday, right?
No, you put it in on Thursday, like Thursday morning. Yeah,
Thursday morning.
Yeah. About,
okay,
about you put 8 hours.
So the turkey last.
Yeah,
okay, so you start, that's why grandma usually up to like 2 o'clock in the morning,
that's
so she put the turkey on.
The turkey is last.
And then she go to sleep, and okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I was wondering. But yeah, Thursday night football.
All right, Butterball.
You might well get up and get you some hot sauce and get ready to eat some turkey and some hot sauce. Well, giblet gravy or whatever it is.
Well, I mean, we have to pick up the mess from the Eagles. Thanks a hell of a lot for nothing.
That don't bother me because unlike y'all, I knew what was about to happen. I knew going to New Orleans that it was gonna be a beatdown. I knew that. So I'm cool. I wasn't sitting up here talking about, oh, the Eagles are about to go beat the Saints. I didn't predict that. I didn't ride with that one. See, you're the one that sat up here and was like, hey, they're gonna beat Dallas. We're gonna do Now you think you're gonna beat the Saints? It's gonna be tough.
Well,
man.
I think we're gonna punch them in the mouth.
No, I think it's gonna be tough.
We're not gonna roll over. I mean, we're not turtling up and rolling over down in the swamp. That is not gonna happen.
I don't think they're going to roll over, John, but those Saints are rolling right now.
Yeah, they are.
They're rolling.
How about we get a bounce go our way? One of the things Dan Quinn talked about, you, and yes, everything you could think about, I'm mad about the play calling, I'm mad about the injuries, I'm mad about the lack of execution on third down and in the red zone and our inability to do certain things, and it's on us. However, there has not exactly been a whole lot of breaks go the Atlanta Falcons' way this year. Like, I don't know, a tip ball out of Calvin Ridley's hands that goes right into a linebacker for an interception that sets up the second Dallas touchdown in, what, a minute and a half. We haven't gotten that kind of a break. How about Thursday, Drew Brees suddenly has a ball go off the deflected off the hands, return for 6. How about they drop a ball in the flat and somebody just, you know, how about we get some breaks go our way?
See, now you're hoping and wishing for things to happen. You got to be more of the type to control your own fate. And that has not, for whatever the case. I mean, and that's the NFL. But at the same time, you know, we're sitting here laughing and joking about it. But I will say this. The Falcons have a chance. There's no question about it because I know for a fact that this is a bad taste in their mouth. To be that close to it and to have the defense come up short, that defense is a prideful group. There's no question about that. And I think Grady Jarrett said it best yesterday. He said, man, the time for talking is done.
Mm-hmm.
Done talking. Let's just play because that's all you have left now. There is nothing that you can say to this fan base right now that's going to console them, that's going to soothe them, that's going to make them feel better about this loss. You just have to go out there and play. Like, nobody believes in this team right now. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. It was tough. To watch that game yesterday, you know, being in those fights, that's a tough way to lose. There's no question about it because they fought hard. But when you look at it at the end of the day, as a defensive player, you had an opportunity to at least send that game into overtime. You didn't get it done. You didn't get it done. That falls at your feet. In my eyes, that falls at your feet. You know, people can talk about the offense and how you didn't do this and how. Yeah, that's true too. But when the ball's on their 25 and they drive down the field and get in position to kick a field goal, that's defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's defense all day.
By the way, this holiday week we mentioned, you got that big game, you got Turkey Day, you got all the showdowns of college football, and you have a wonderful opportunity if you have not been to State Farm Arena to be part of the experience, to see the new arena and what they've done this week, because there are four home games for the Hawks this week. Tonight against the Clippers, Wednesday against Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors, day before Thanksgiving. Most of you have Thanksgiving off. Now, we'll be here Thanksgiving morning, but and a number of you do work, but if you have Thanksgiving off, Wednesday night or Friday night against the Boston Celtics, tickets available at Hawks.com to go down and experience the arena. Then following Sunday, Charlotte comes in. So you've got Clippers on tonight, Wednesday Toronto, Friday Boston, next Sunday you've got Charlotte. And remember, Sunday's not a Falcons day because they play Thursday. So you have four opportunities to go see State Farm Arena. Now, can I guarantee you you're going to see a victory? That I can't do because, Hugh, the Hawks have lost 7 in a row. They're 1-11 in their last 12. They got a winless road trip, and they are reeling right now.
Yeah, it's been a little tough road stretch for the Atlanta Hawks, but it's nothing that we didn't expect. I know it's one of those things where we have to talk about it, John. There's no question about that. But it's like the outcome is what we thought it would be. I mean, this is a growing process mm-hmm. for this young team. John Collins coming back, so that's a good. That's
yeah,
a
he plus. Was back yeah. and looked and you know looked okay, and then so John Collins is back. We're starting to get our first taste of it. We understand what the season is. You know, it's a ping pong ball season, and hopefully you get the number one pick, and that would be a good thing. And hopefully Cleveland starts winning games. Because you want to try and get Cleveland's lottery pick, because right now Cleveland's worse than you are, believe it or not. Cleveland has less wins than the Hawks. Cleveland has 2. You have 3. So you can already see that there. What's really kind of funny, sad in a way, Hugh, is if you look at the standings in the NBA, you can already see where certain teams, we're 16, 17 games in, and teams are already starting to think about positioning themselves for Duke players. The Bulls have 4 wins. The Knicks have 4 wins. Hawks have 3. Cleveland has 2, that's in the East, and Phoenix has 3 in the West. So that's 5 teams with 4 wins or less. And so give me the motivation for any of those 5 teams just 16, 17 games into the year not to want to try to get ping pong balls because you're probably not going anywhere else, right? And isn't that kind of sad? That's where we're at.
This is the way that the NBA season started out. It is, but you know, I think it's going to be the ebb and flow of the season for the Hawks. You know, and I think that the biggest thing I'm looking for is the growth of these young players and the meshing of these young players as we move forward. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, and I want to see, you know, Trae Young, he hadn't had a really good shooting night in a long time. We mean, a nice tonight,
it's
maybe.
A couple of days. It's been a couple games.
Hawks and Clippers tonight. Our coverage begins with the pregame show with Andy Bunker at 7:30 tip from State Farm Arena with Steve Holman on the call live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and tickets available tonight. Wednesday, Friday, Sunday for this homestand at Hawks.com. When we get back in a moment, college football preps for Showdown Week. Here we go. Catch your breath because it's going to be something. That's next on The Morning Show on a Falcons Monday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.